Welcome to Shift, a college admissions ACT and SAT podcast for a changing world. I'm Tyler, the founder of Achievable, and we have an affordable ACT course that includes everything you need to ace your ACT. A full textbook, tons of ACT questions backed by our memory-enhancing algorithm, videos on key topics, a built-in study planner, and full-length practice exams. You can get a free trial at Achievable.me, and if you like it, the code podcast gets you 10% off at checkout. Now, let's get started. Today, we have Joan Casey from Educational Advocates College Consulting back on the line with us. And Joan, thanks for being on, and I'd love if you could just introduce yourself to people who haven't heard you before.
Thanks, Tyler. Again, I'm Joan Casey. I'm the founder and president of Educational Advocates College Consulting, and we're a national college admissions practice guiding students and families through the complexities of the college application process, and we like to do it with some fun and a sense of humor and by ratcheting down the anxiety.
Yeah, fantastic. And so today we're going to be talking about college admissions for athletes or prospective athletes, technically. For me, as somebody who was not in sort of into athletics going into college, let's say, I'm really curious about this one. So why don't you just start us off with kind of where do you start when you're talking to families of and students that are athletes?
So usually, you know, when people come to you, they'll say something like, you know, oh, he's a great lacrosse player. Or she's a, you know, great swimmer. You know, they'd like to continue if they can to play their sport in college. So that's kind of typically where it starts. Students come in expressing interest. So let's start with that scenario. So if you're, if you're a runner or a swimmer or some sport where you have times, it's in some sense a much easier process mm-hmm. because, you know, you look at the colleges that you're interested in, you can take a look at the team and where their times are for various events, and you can get a sense of like, I'm only a sophomore and I'm almost there. So, you know, it's not crazy to think that like a year from now, I might have a time that could be attractive to that coach. Mm-hmm. Or you're looking and saying, yeah, I'm looking at this and I can tell I'm definitely not going to be a Division I swimmer. You know, let me take a look at the Division III numbers. So for that kind of thing, it's a little easier. Now, for the sports where the coaches need to see you play, so things like soccer, baseball, football, you know, all of those kinds of sports, the students need to get seen by college coaches. So They usually do things like go to certain showcase tournaments, and there's all kinds of camps. Like there are certain camps for football, there are certain showcases for all these different sports where, you know, if you're shooting for the Division III level, there'd be a set you would go to. If you're shooting for Division I or II, there'd be a whole different grouping that you would go to. And the idea is like that you get seen and somebody takes an interest in you. So, mm-hmm. you know, so those are kind of, you know, the various scenarios. You know, it's work. So the student, it isn't just like when you hear that people are recruited. Yes, if you're some superstar and you're really well known, you know, on the, you know, youth sports circuit that you're in, sure, you know, you might very early on hear from coaches without reaching out. But the vast majority of students are going to be introducing themselves to coaches. So many schools have on their website a prospective athlete form. So, you know, the student would go there, they would fill it out, ask them all kinds of questions about their background, including their GPA and their standardized test scores if they have them. You know, and, you know, so that's where they start, because college coaches will use that to, you know, keep track of who they're looking at. You know, so a student, you know, can also write an email to a coach and send an athletic resume and a link to like film. You know, if you're a football or a soccer player, that can be a really good thing to put together, like a pretty short, like 10-minute film clip with like highlights. And, you know, sometimes students will do that and they'll never hear anything back. Sometimes they'll do it and the coach will say, have you filled out the recruitment form? And then, the big D1 schools like, Alabama for football, like they're probably not going to have a prospective athlete form on their website because, they have their own way of going after and recruiting students. So that's kind of like a very quick overview. But as I said, most students are in that camp of reaching out, introducing themselves, and then like keeping in touch every few weeks or every few months with updates. Like, I had a race today, I broke this my personal record by this time, or we played, the this soccer team and this is what happened, and just kind of keeping in touch with the coach with news in the hope that, that the coach will eventually respond. And they, of course, often do.
Right. And I
Yeah.
mean,
So
that's kind of like just a general tactic in college admissions, right? It's just keeping people warm and giving them like multiple data points so that when you are coming to them with the ask, it's not the first time reaching out to them. And also you've shown like progress and you've kind of got them following along your story. I think it's a really good tip.
And sometimes, students will now follow coaches on Twitter and Instagram, and they'll have their own Instagram and Twitter pages that are kept clean and not have like their social life on them. They don't just have to post athletic things, but it's a good place for them to, post things about their games. And it's important to know that coaches, they obviously want to recruit students who they need on their team, who are going to add value athletically to their team, but they also want to take students who are good kids. Like, if you're posting things that kind of show you have an attitude or that you're not a good sport, or, a video clip that shows you like slamming the ball to the ground because things didn't go your way, like that is not going to help a student get recruited. They definitely want people that are going to add value to their team athletically and be collaborative and, be good sports. So I think that is also something that's really important. The other thing is depend, they also want them to be good students. So, it's definitely true that you can get into some schools if you're wanted for athletics, that you might not have gotten into that school if you weren't an athlete. You generally need to be kind of in the ballpark, but like you can definitely have somewhat lower grades in some instances to get into certain schools. So you see that sometimes, like at the Division III or the Ivy League level, where students are good athletes, that's what they're bringing to the table is their athleticism. And maybe their transcript has a couple of C's on it or something, and you probably would never see a student get into those kinds of schools with a couple of C's on their transcript if they weren't a recruited athlete. So that's kind of another little twist.
Do you have any thoughts about whether or not athletes should submit test scores or sort of the process around that? Because like some, for instance, the reason why I bring this up is something that I've heard is like there will be like sometimes, and I don't know even know if this is legal, frankly, but there will be times where, in a prospective athlete for a college, the coach really wants him or her there. And they send their SAT scores, and they're like, and they're the coach basically says, "Okay, that's good enough, but don't apply with them. Like, apply test optional." Do you see this happening a lot, or is that kind of a one-off incident?
I
And
mean, so
what do you think about it?
I think that the NCAA has, ruled that you don't Division I and II do not need test scores anymore. So that settles now. For a while, that was a temporary policy. But for Division III schools, it's up to the discretion of the college. So there are some colleges that have been test optional, but they have wanted scores from athletes. So you still see that. But on the Division I and II level, I think the scenario you just described could happen quite frequently, where, or any division really, where they share the scores with the coach, but the coach says, yeah, maybe don't send these in. So, which is true of non-athletes too. I mean, everybody is evaluating whether they should send their scores in or not, So, but yeah, we definitely see that.
Great. Yeah, I think, I mean, like, it's not, Yeah, sorry. Great was in response to like great feedback. I don't
Right,
know if it's great
yeah.
that that's happening, but you know,
Right,
I think that for
right.
better or for worse, test optional kind of gives some cover to these organizations that want to recruit certain people, and maybe their test scores are not where they'd want them to be to sort of raise the school average, right? Because the school's also concerned about
Right,
that.
exactly.
But I
Right.
do think that in general, though, you know, it's still important to take preparing for the ACT and SAT seriously, even if you're a prospective college athlete, because you don't want your scores. Like, I think everybody understands that you've got a bit much busier schedule than all the other kids studying tests. So you don't
Right.
necessarily need to be the best score, but your score has to be good enough that it shows you have the academic aptitude to not flunk out of said college, right?
Right. And the other thing is, there are some states where by legislature you have to have test scores. So you maybe the college wouldn't penalize you if you had a lower score, but they need to see them. So like Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, states like that, they require you to submit a test. So you can't not take the test if you want to apply to public universities or colleges in those states. So I think that's also something that's important for students to keep in mind, that they may, not realize that they want to apply to a school in one of those states, and you don't want to be caught late and say, "Oh, I thought I was not going to take a standardized test, and now I want to apply here. Now I have to scramble." So that's true for no athletes and non-athletes. And I think the other thing that for athletes that's really important to keep in mind is that a coach cannot offer admission. So sometimes families and students get confused about that. Like the coach could be really interested in a student from an athletic perspective. He could tell the student, "You're my number one recruit." But if that student doesn't have a strong transcript, that's no guarantee that they're going to get into the school. So typically, what you want to happen, if a coach is interested in you, then they'll ask for your transcript and, as you just alluded to, your standardized test scores. And the student will send those to the coach, and the coach will look everything over and pass that information on to the admissions office for a pre-read. And then that pre-read will come back, and the coach will either say, they can't support you. I'm sorry, I won't be able to. You won't be one of my slots that I ask admissions for because they don't feel like you'll be admissible. Or, yes, they thought you look good, and I'm interested in you. So that might be a point at which a coach, asks for a verbal commitment. And in the case of Division One, of course, there's the national letter of intent and some more formal policies than happen at the Division Three level. But students should, if you're, let's say you're a Division Three student, you have a verbal commitment for a coach. They've asked you to apply early decision. You do apply early decision, but maybe you got a C in like AP US, AP Gov senior year or AP Bio or something. And the admissions office sees that C and they say, "We're going to defer the student. We're not really a C st school, so we need to see the student bring that up, and we'll defer the student. And if the student brings the C up by mid-year, then we'll admit the student, in the regular round." So sometimes families and students aren't aware of that. That so you you know I always advise students to get other applications ready, just to be on the safe side. Not a ton of other applications, but a few others that they've researched, so that in case anything does go, in a way that they weren't expecting, that they haven't put all their eggs in that one basket.
Yeah, I mean that's good. It's a good idea. Anyways, right? Because you never know,
Right.
especially like what if they find somebody that's that they like better at for the team, right? And
Exactly.
things like that. You just
Yep.
never know. But yeah, I mean I think that is really interesting. And I also think that in general you've got to keep a like a number of teams or schools warm, right? Going back to your keeping things warm comment earlier, that also can potentially help you. And tell me if I'm wrong here, but can you, let's say you've got two teams that really want to recruit you, Can you kind of, obviously you don't tell them like, oh, you know, North Carolina's talking to me or whatever. Like you kind of keep it vague, but can you play them off of each other to potentially get like a better scholarship or things like that? Or would you not recommend that?
I wouldn't recommend that.
Okay.
I don't think I would recommend that. I mean, the vast majority of college athletes are not getting any money, honestly. I mean, there are only certain sports that get money. Some students get very little money. So Division III, you don't get money at all. So, you know, the Ivy League is Division I, but you don't get athletic scholarships at the Ivy League. They only have need-based aid. So that's another thing that people need to be really cautious about, this notion of like, oh, you know, it's going to cost nothing to go to college, because it's really the big sports that, you know, have the scholarship money. I know a lot of the other teams just have a little bit to give out. So it's not really the same. But no, I wouldn't recommend doing that. I think it's important for the students to be honest with the coaches, especially if they want to be treated in an honest manner too. So I think that, you know, I think if they ask you if you're being looked at by other teams, I think it's probably in your favor to say you are, because then that might help them make a decision, particularly if you're really interested in them. But I also think at some point, if a student has decided to pursue a particular school and other colleges ask them, I do think it's a good idea to be honest about that. Sometimes, you know, they'll say, I've given a verbal commitment and I plan on honoring that, you know, and, it's always good to be upfront and honest about it, because you wouldn't want, you know, the coach doing to you, as you said, anything can happen though. Like you're absolutely right that somebody could come along once you're a freshman at the college and try to walk on the team that's in your position that's actually better than you, and you could get cut. Like there's no guarantees, right? Even once you're a student, and you know, at least you're in the school. But you, if playing is super important to you, I mean, it that doesn't happen that often, but it can. It can.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also just like, you know, what is the point of you doing, like, are you picking the school that will give you the best opportunity to play the position, or are you picking the best, or like the school for the school, and the sports thing is like a bonus, right? Like I would like to think right. Well, you know, I had somebody that I knew pretty well. He, you know, he was choosing between two very good schools, but he chose the school where he felt like he was going to be a starter and over mm-hmm. the school where he was probably going to be, you know, a redshirt freshman and maybe never not actually make the team. Right. So, I mean, yeah, I guess it's just about what is your real purpose? Right. Like, do you truly see yourself playing this sport professionally? I think a lot of it has to do with like which sport it is, too.
Right. Yeah. I think a lot of students that I work with anyway, you know, and I'm not really working with a ton of like big top Division I recruits. I mean, we've mm-hmm. had students play on a Division I level, but we're not like, you know, working with a ton of football players that are going to Alabama or Auburn or anything. But I would say that the vast majority of our clients care more about the academic experience. Like the playing the sport is really important to them and it's really high on their list. But they do realize that they're really there to get an education, that they're not going to be professional athletes in most cases. And that, you know, like, you know, there's the old, you know, oh, what if you get injured and you can't play? Will you still like the school? Well, that's really important, you know, because if they only pick the school for the team and the coach, you know, the coach could leave, they could end up being injured and not playing. So they have to really, you know, conclude that they like that school just beyond just the athletic experience that they're pursuing.
Right. And I was going to ask, you brought up something that I was going to maybe follow up on, which is, you know, is this all the advice that you're giving, it feels like is more targeted towards people that, like you said, are not going to Auburn for football, right? Or things like that. Do you feel like maybe the right. game kind of flips when you're talking about an athlete with that level of talent? And do you have any kind of advice for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think for that, I think, like, let's just take football, because all these sports are different. Like, so for football, I think that recruiting happens late. I think it often doesn't happen until, like, fall of senior year. I think that there are certain there are certain, showcases or events that they, football players that at that level should have been going to, like, the summer before their junior year and the summer before their senior year that are really important, particularly the summer before senior year. That's kind of where people will really get seen and where interest will take hold. So I think that that's like a whole other level, of there. And so, like, if you're that caliber of athlete, then you're gonna go to these certain kinds of tournaments that are different than you would be going to if you were a Division III athlete. So I think there's that, and then like things like soccer and lacrosse, like you're probably playing, you're not gonna get recruited from your high school if you're like the best soccer player in your league for your high school. You probably aren't going to get recruited to play soccer in college because most of the soccer talent is coming from these really elite club teams. So, you see a lot of students that are interested in playing soccer at a high level in college. They're like in high school, they're trying out and always trying to get on a better, more prestigious team so that they can be on one of those elite teams, when they're, junior, senior year, so that they have a better chance of being recruited. So, it's similar, but it's just like different showcases, different tournaments, different, that you're going to in order to attract the attention of that level of coach.
Right. Yeah. So it's a lot of kind of, again, like building that resume, but in that case, building the resume means going to the events, going to the tryout days, trying to get on better teams that are more, name brand. That makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I mean it's a lot of work. It was interesting because I was there was a is a baseball player for Houston, I think. Probably getting this wrong, that was just in the news that he had just gotten called up in September, for the championship run. And his experience in high school was that he had gotten recruited, I think, by Duke, to play baseball like his sophomore year of high school. So he didn't really do any of the running around and doing all the expensive like showcases and tournaments and leagues. He just like got recruited and he just kept playing for his high school. I'm sure he did like some other leagues too, but in a much lower key way, kind of like in the old days. And it's kind of refreshing because I do think it's like it's insanely expensive for families. It takes up incredible amounts of time. A lot of the students that spent all this time doing it, may not land at a college. So I do think like families do need to take a long, hard look at like, is this the right thing for us, for my child, for the student, him or herself, to take a long, hard look at like, is this really how I want to spend all my high school time? And if they do, great. And if the family can afford it, great. But it's really changed from years ago when, it happened. People tended to go to college more locally. I mean, years ago, and but now everything is just professionalized and very expensive. And one thing I didn't mention is there are a lot of these outside services that try to get students to like join and pay them to like help get recruited. And I think the conventional wisdom on a lot of those is that most of them are not all that valuable, that students are
Right.
better off like working through their own coaches and, doing their own legwork and introducing themselves to college coaches versus, paying somebody else money. It's probably not a very good use of their dollars.
Yeah, and I think that it's also like, I mean, there's a lot of that in the business world, right? Like people kind of are like, we can get you exposure, and it ends up being usually not worth it, right? I think that
Right, right.
it you're kind of like a lot of those services, you're kind of buying the dream, but like the
Right.
dream is maybe a 5 or 10% chance, and so you just got to know that going in.
Right, exactly. Definitely. Yep,
So I wanted to ask,
absolutely.
for prospective college athletes, is there anything recommendation wise that you would say is important for the essays? I think specifically, first question I have is just like, should the s their essay be about sports if they're applying as an athlete, right? Because I think that it's a little bit of a conversation that I hear with college admissions counselors where they're like, well, applying to college, everybody's heard the same sob story about how your team lost the championship like 400 times, so you should really do something else. But does that logic change when you're applying as an athlete, or is there any sort of tips you have for the essays in general?
Yeah, I would try to write about something different if I were a prospective athlete. It doesn't mean it can't have anything to do with athleticism. You know, for example, maybe a student writes an essay about like what they had to do during high school to manage their time and to like continue to do well in school and pursue their sport. You know, that could include like navigating family relationships. It could include like, you know, having to earn money over the summer to help their parents pay for some of these tournaments. So like there's a lot of stories in athlete. If they feel like, oh, this is what I spent all my time doing, it's such a big part of my life, there's a lot of different ways you could come at an essay that could be meaningful, versus I don't think anyone should write the big championship essay, and they probably shouldn't write the I tore my ACL essay either, just because. Oh, yeah. And I don't mean to be like disrespectful of like, that's obviously like, you know, if you win,
it's a major injury.
That
yeah.
is super excited. That's great. And if you tear your ACL, that is awful. Like I don't mean to be dismissive of those experiences. It's just that the colleges are probably going to have read those kinds of essays. And so if the goal is to help them get to know you, and you know, there's probably more to both of those students than their injury and their championship. So there might be a place to talk about the championship somewhere, maybe in their activities list. But, you know, they can probably find, you know, you look at at least the personal statement, the Common App essay is, you know, their opportunity to talk directly to the college and to let them know who they are as a person. So students really want to think like, well, what do I want them to know about me that's not going to be so obvious from reading the rest of my application? Like, what makes me me? And, you know, what story can I tell that will bring that to life? So that's what we try to get every student to do. So I'm not one that tends to say like avoid, you know, here are the five subjects to avoid, because you could probably take one of those so-called forbidden subjects and find an angle on it that would work. But, you know, you just want students to be genuine and to show their true selves.
Right. Yeah, no, thanks for the tips. That makes a lot of sense. And then the last thing, at least I had on my kind of short list of questions to ask, is about letters of recommendation. Because I feel like if you're an athlete, you know, getting a letter of recommendation from your coach, it might actually be really important. Do you agree with that? And do you have any sort of advice around that?
I think it depends, because I think most colleges on the admission side, they don't really care. I mean, so colleges come in different camps. So there's colleges that, you know, some colleges won't look at recommendations at all. Some of the really big like state university systems and that kind of thing. Lots of colleges will ask for one counselor recommendation and then one or two teacher. So usually they want to admit you to the college based on your academic performance and who you are as a citizen of the school. So the school counselor recommendation could incorporate, for example, information from the coach to say like he's, you know, a great athlete, great, good sportsman, that kind of thing. Some colleges will allow an other letter. So it's like, you know, yes, we absolutely need a teacher and a school counselor. But if you have somebody else that knows you really well, yes, feel free to submit a letter from them. So that would be the case where a student who felt like their coach knew them really well and would have great things to say about them could send a letter. So, you know, you should always ask an other recommender, whether it's a coach or an employer or, you know, somebody where you volunteer, only if they're going to say things and bring out points about you that are going to be different than what's already been written. So you don't want to overdo it, because the colleges aren't spending that much time reading your application. So if they're taking a few extra minutes to read something that's basically saying the same thing that everybody else said, that's probably not going to a good use of their time. You know, they might skim over something else in the application that you wanted them to read more closely.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And then anything on college admissions for prospective athletes that we did not cover yet that you want to make sure we cover?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I think we covered it, but like, grades are important. Yes, sometimes athletes can get in with a little lower GPA, but again, it depends on the school, and they still need to be reasonably good students. So, students should not forget their academic abilities, and they should also make sure they're this is for admissions in a direct sense, is that like if they get a letter of intent or they get a verbal offer early, they maybe they're a fall athlete and their sport is over, they need to keep in shape and they need to keep things going on all levels, academically, athletically, till they arrive, well, through when they arrive at that school, because that's what's going to make them attractive to the college coach.
Right. Got it. That makes sense. Thank you so much. This has been Shift, a college admissions podcast for a changing world, hosted by Tyler from Achievable and Joan Casey from Educational Advocates College Consulting. You can get a free trial of Achievable's ACT course by going to achievable.me, and be sure to use the code podcast to get 10% off at checkout.